Sure, it's good to be in God's house with God's people, but best place on the planet to be with the best people. Go to Luke chapter number 2, Gospel of Luke chapter number 2. Usually when you hear a preacher say or anybody say, turn to Luke chapter number 2, it's usually Christmas time, but not this morning. I'm going to take a few verses from here this morning. Just keep your Bibles open. We will be going other places. Luke chapter number 2. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together. We'll stretch yourself. Verse 42. Luke 2, 42. The Bible says, I'll give you a moment. I still hear the pages turning. The subject we're dealing with this morning is where to find Jesus. Where to find Jesus. The Bible says in verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. Listen. And they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Here's the verse. And when they saw him, they were amazed. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I've preached from this text before and on losing Jesus. Well, what a thing to lose. Have you ever lost your child? I remember being, me and Jenny took the girls to the zoo down at Columbia, and I don't remember which one it was, maybe Lola Beth, I believe. And we literally turned our this direction and was looking at something, and just a few seconds we turned back around and she was gone. And that place was just packed. If you've been there, you know, it was just crawling with people. And so we frantically began looking and trying to locate her and find her, and as the seconds went on, they seemed like hours. Just, I mean, fear gripped her heart, and we literally lost our child. And we didn't find her for probably 10 minutes or more. 10 minutes seems like an eternity. I mean, your mind goes into awful places. You're thinking, did somebody snatch my child? Did a bear eat her? And I'm just kidding. I didn't know what had happened. And we were, but that's an awful feeling. That is a terrible feeling to lose your child and not be able to find them, even if it's just for a few minutes. I don't understand, and I pray for people. I used to not think about it that much, but this thing in today's time that we're living in, do you know how many parents really lose their children? Their children are taken. This thing of child trafficking is a real, you talking about an epidemic, that is an epidemic. It's everywhere. I mean, right here around us, and I could not imagine learning the terrible news that somebody had taken my child and I couldn't find them. Would that not move you? Would that not bother you and concern you if you was to lose your child? Well, it should concern us. It should bother us. when we lose Jesus. You say, well, I thought we was once saved, always saved. I believe that. I believe if you ever really get saved, you're saved forever. Don't get me wrong. I believe that. You'll never convince me otherwise. However, I'm going to show you another man in the Bible who was a great godly man, a man who was perfect and upright and eschewed evil, the Bible said. God said about him, he was a perfect man. Job, and he lost the Lord. He said, I can't find him. I looked everywhere for him. And here, Jesus' mom and daddy, they just go busy going about life on their journey that they had made many times to go to the feast, and they go a day's journey and don't even realize they lost him. Boy, that says a lot. But then once they realize he's gone, they begin seeking him. I want to say from the onset of the message this morning, you may go a day's journey, and I may go a day's journey or longer, and it shouldn't be that long before we realize he's missing. If you can go weeks and months without realizing he's missing, that he's not speaking to you or influencing you or whatever the case is, there's something terribly wrong. Amen. And so that was just that was just by way of introduction, and that's not the direction of the message, but it's needed. We shouldn't go long without realizing he's missing in our life. He should be so important that when he's not there, we realize it. And like Joseph and Mary did, we stop what we're doing. Because, by the way, as important as the feast was, and it was important, so important they were willing to travel untold miles to get there. But it wasn't as important as Jesus. Because once they realized he was missing, they could care less about the feast. They stopped and they traveled back as far as they could. I believe it said a 3 days journey to find him. And I say whenever we realize he's missing, it's time for us to stop what we're doing, no matter how important we think it is, and do what it takes to find him. Because he is the most important thing in our life. Amen. And so, when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? This always cracks me up. I can understand the mother being upset, and the father, and saying, why would you do this, boy? What was you thinking? I can see that. I mean, the fear was dripping out of them and turning into anger quickly. Once they found him, behold thy father, and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, I love this answer, how is it that you sought me? What do you mean you've been looking for me? I'm sure he could have said, well, I'm God, I can't get lost. But he said, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business? And so, it's if the parents of Jesus can lose him and not know where he's at, and once they do realize it's worth doing whatever it takes to find him, I believe we should. Amen. And if the parents could lose Jesus, any of us can. Amen. Now, let me read you what Job said. And you know this text good, but then Job answered and said, Even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. You ever felt that way? That I might come even to his seat. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. We live in a dark world, wouldn't you agree? I just mentioned something as wicked as child trafficking and human smuggling, and that's just one little caveat. I mean, you look around this world, it is a wicked, dark, dangerous world we're living in. Our children are being raised in a generation that we never dreamed of. I was somewhere one day this week, and I was talking to somebody, and they made the statement to me that the way they were raised, they heard preachers say their whole life, and preachers preach their whole life, that dangerous days are coming, perilous days are ahead, and it's going to come, and the Bible's going to be, that prophecy is going to be fulfilled. But we've lived, and I said, we have lived long enough not just to hear it preached, but to see it. This is the most dangerous this world's ever been. I believe that. And it's going to get more dangerous, and it's going to get darker. I hate to say that, but that's what the Bible teaches. And so in such a dark, dark place, it's easy to lose things when it's dark. I can lose things when it's light. I'll lay my phone down or lay my keys down, and I'll tell Jenny, I've lost my keys. I've lost my phone. I can't find it nowhere. And she'll walk straight in there and pick it up. But the darker it is, the harder it is to find. And the darker this world gets, we need to have a keen eye out for Jesus. Whether sin has divided you from Him, and it will, the deeper we dive into sin, the farther we become from Him. It's hard to find Him. Or whether it's sorrow. Do you realize, hey, listen, I've talked to somebody this morning, and grief and sorrow has grabbed them and gripped them to the place. They made a statement to me, I'm so depressed, I don't even like myself. You know what it is? Sorrow has like a cloud just come over them, and the devil, he pushes that, and he wants you to believe that nobody cares for you and nobody loves you, and that you're there's nothing in your life worth living for. And that's a lie. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. And so you can't listen to that. So what do you do? Whether it's you can't find Him from sin or sorrow or storms, and the clouds are so thick you can't find Him. And please know this. How many of you ever heard of Ralph Sexton, Sr., the father, the elder? He's in heaven. He made this statement and testified to this fact, and I don't understand this. I can't explain this. I couldn't handle this. Lord knows I couldn't. But he was pastoring the church where he's at, preaching all the time, preaching revivals, and for 7 long years, God never spoke to him. 7 years, he couldn't find the Lord. If I go 7 days, it's more than I can handle. I mean, how do you get up and preach when God hadn't spoke to you and led you? And how do you get through hardships when the Lord's not there? How do you get through sorrow? How do you get through life when God's not there to speak to you? If you're saved, you understand the importance of God speaking to you, and you've been able to find Him. But when He can't be found, oh, that's a hard, hard place to live. But the fact is, we all get in places like that where you cannot find Him. You ever been there? You ever prayed and the heavens were like a brass and a tinkling cymbal? Like your prayers just made it as high as the ceiling and right back down, and like you hollered for help and you screamed for God to hear you and to come rescue you, and you couldn't find Him. And you thought He'd forsaken you. You ever felt that way? If you hadn't, hang around, it will come. It happens. Job felt that way, and boy, you know the life of Job, and I don't have time to preach this morning, but he had been through as much hardship as anybody in the Word of God, anybody living. Lost all of his children, finances, everything. His health, And you would think if God was ever going to come and reveal himself to anybody, it would have been Job, especially after he had endured and stayed perfect and upright and not cussed God and not even realizing what we have the privilege of knowing and understanding is that Job was the pawn. Job was God's pawn that he was using in a humongous epic fight between good and evil and God and the devil. But Job didn't know that. Job didn't know that God was putting him to the test to prove the devil wrong and to bring glory to himself. All Job knew was that God knows where I'm at. I can't find him, but he knows where I'm at. And when I come through this, I'm going to come forth as gold. Well, what a Christian. We want God to explain everything to us, and if we can't find him in a day or two, we're ready to quit. But so, in this dark world, you need to know where to find him. Number one, you can find him in the shadows. And I can say I'm not going to get done with this morning, so come back tonight and you'll get the rest. In the shadows. You ever heard that song, Standing Somewhere in the Shadows, You'll Find Jesus? He's always there. Whether you see him or not, he's there. Know that. Even when you can't see him or feel his presence, understand, this is a promise. This is not Rochester theology. This is a promise from the Word of God. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So whether you feel him or see him or hear him, no, he's there. In the shadows, he's there. And he's not going to let more happen to you than what he wants. He's not going to allow more than he wants to happen. So in the shadows, he's there. In the shadows of prophecy in the Word of God, he's there. You see him in the Garden of Eden, the typology, in the life of Abraham and Isaac. You remember when Abraham took Isaac up the Mount Moriah and was getting ready to kill him. Well, you see Jesus there. That's a type and a picture of Jesus going up Calvary. So you see him in prophecy, in the life of Joseph, in Psalm 22, that graphic prophecy picture of the Lord Jesus on Calvary. Then in Isaiah 53, so you see him in the shadow of prophecy. You see him in the shadow of problems. Job 19:25, listen to this. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So, even in problems, even when you're facing death, Job said, I may not can see him now, but I will see him sooner or later. And that's listen, when the devil or your flesh or your mind convinces you that you've seen the last of Jesus, understand and know that is a lie. If you're saved, you will see him again. The sun will shine again. It won't be clouds and doom forever. The sun will shine again. The S-O-N will shine again. So in the shadows, you can find him. Number two, in the storm, Matthew 14:22. Listen to these verses. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, Is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased, Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. In the storm of their life, I mean, keep in mind, these were fishermen. They were acquainted and accustomed with storms. But this one was so bad that they couldn't see out in front of them. And then when they did see him coming toward them, they couldn't make out who it was. They thought it was a ghost. They thought it was a spirit. And then when he spoke, they saw. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. And Jesus said, come on, walk on the water. And he did, and walked to Jesus. And let me say this, if you ever attempt walking on water, you better be walking to Jesus. Yeah. That was one storm we're all familiar with. Point being, you can find him in the storm of your life. You can see him. They thought they were doomed. And then he showed up and revealed himself. And if you will not quit in the storm of your life, you too will see him again. He'll come to you right on time. Let me read you another storm in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. By the way, did you catch that? Jesus said at the beginning, let us pass over unto the other side. So no matter how boisterous the storm got, they had the promise from the start. They're making it over. And do you realize, and you think, well, them nuts, why didn't they listen? I mean, they done had the word from God himself, the one who controls the storms. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. We're to the other side, not halfway, not part of the way, but you're going to make it. And it's easy for us to read that and say, well, them knuckleheads, I mean, they got the word from God, and then they get out in the ship and they get scared to death and they think, we can't find Jesus. We can't find Jesus. We can't see him. We're not going to make it. We're going to die out here. It's easy for us to backseat drive and the couch quarterback and to look at them and say, well, why don't they just trust God? I mean, he done told them. Before you go down that route too far, could I say to you, he's made you a whole book full of promises that's promised you, you're going to make it. Amen. All the way. Amen. He's not promised to get us halfway to heaven. He's not promised to get us three-fourths. No, he's promised if he saved you and washed you in his blood, you will make it. Amen. To heaven. You will live for him in eternity. It don't matter how bad you mess up. It don't matter how bad you're... I mean, he told Peter after Peter walked on water, oh, you have a little faith. Where's your faith, boy? But he still saw to it that he made it. And you're going to lose faith from time to time. You're going to get down the dumps. You're going to get depressed. You're going to go through hardship. You're going to go through storms. That's part of life. But how many of you right now as we speak are hearing the thunder roll and seeing the lightning crack and watching the monsoon of rain coming down? It ain't happening. Look out the windows. There's sunshine outside, which tells me and should tell you, you've made it through every single storm you've ever been through. And you're going to make it through life if you don't quit. And you can find him. Amen. By the way, before they found him, you did notice he found them. Amen. I mean, they saw him, but he was already headed their way. And before you ever see him, he's already headed toward you. Amen. He knows exactly where you're at. I'm not going to read the rest of this in Mark, but in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus was walking on the water. What's he doing in the storm? He's comforting the saints. That's what he's doing. And in the storm of your life, he will comfort you. And that's what he was doing in Matthew chapter 14. He was comforting the saints. That's what he's doing. He went out there to the ship. And he let Peter walk on the boisterous waves, and he got back to the ship, and he comforted the saints. But in Mark chapter 4, he's calming the storms. He didn't just comfort the saints. He made the storm lay down. Why did he calm the storm in Mark 4 instead of just comfort the saints like in Matthew 14? If you'll read, and I didn't take time to read this, but if you'll drop down and read verse 36, this is why. This is why he made the storm stop. Verse 36 says, and there were also with him other little ships. In the previous text we read in Matthew 14, they were the only ones out there. And he went out there and he comforted the saints. It didn't matter if the storm kept raging. He was there with them on the ship comforting them. But in Mark chapter 4, he's God and he cares about you, but he cares about everybody else too. And instead of just comforting the saints, he calmed the storm and helped them while at the same time took care of those little ships out there who didn't even realize they needed him. That's how good God is. So you can find him in the shadows. You can find him in the storm. You can find him in Scripture. Matter of fact, that's the best place to find him. You know what amazes me? And I'll just preach to me for a minute. Because I know you wouldn't dare be guilty of this. But I'm guilty. Brother Ned, this is everything God Almighty wanted me to know.
Amen.
Everything.
Yeah. Amen.
It sits in my house. And you probably have several sitting in your house. Everything God wants you to know. And you know how much I forsake this and how ignorant I am to this book? Which means I see him way less than I should. Because if you want to see Jesus, this is where you see him. If you want to hear from Jesus, this is where you hear from him. But we are so good at leaving church, looking spiritual, looking Christian, and getting home and throwing it on the counter and going about our busy week. And somebody will say, oh, it's Wednesday. I hope you'll be here Wednesday. Let me retract and rewind. Oh, it's Sunday night. I better get my Bible because we got church tonight. And it's later all day where you last left it. Oh, excuse me, I wasn't saying y'all, where I last left it. And we'll pick it up and we'll tuck it up under our arm and back to church we go. And then we'll tuck it up under this arm and we'll walk out them doors or whichever door. Throw it on the dash. Throw it on the counter. And there it lays. And then we wonder. Then I wonder. Why ain't I seen him? Lord, where are you at? Don't you realize I need you? Don't you realize I have this going on and I have that going on? Lord, I need you. I mean, I'm pastoring a church. How do I know which direction to go? I've got children that's getting close to being crazy. I need your help. Amen. I need to see you, Lord. I need your wisdom. And while I'm looking for some epiphany and some image that I'm never going to see, there it is.
Amen.
And I failed to look.
Amen.
I failed to look where I know I can see him. While asking, where are you, Lord? I can't find you. I can't find you. And so next time you feel like you can't find him, please do yourself a favor and look for him where he is.
Amen.
He's there in the Scripture. You probably won't find a page that he's not on. And if you do, I believe it was... who was the preacher? Harold Seidler said you'll find him on every page. And if you do find the page that you don't find him, You'll find him twice on the next. It's true. In the Scripture. You say, oh, that's just your opinion. How do you know? How do you know the Bible's where I'll see Jesus? Could I just let the Bible speak for itself? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, it gets better. You say, well, that's just God. I thought you said we could see Jesus. Hang tight. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light of, that all the men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Here it is, listen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You don't see Jesus? We beheld His glory. You don't see the glory of God? Again, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us. But I guarantee you this. I guarantee you this. If God, this morning, everybody look up here at me, we're about done. If God was to put up on a screen your name and how much time you spend in this book looking at Jesus this past week, there would not be one person in here that would not be so red-faced ashamed. I'm just going to put this plug in here. And I know some days are hard. I know some days are busy. And I know some days we just open it up so we can check off our daily reading. And if that's all you can do, do it. But could I encourage you, when you open this book, don't just open it to check off doing your deed for the day. Open it and look for Him, because He's in there. Amen. And when you see Him, everything changes. Storms become bearable. Hardships, heartbreak become mended. If you can just get... Somebody, please help me. Help me. Help me. Have you ever, all the way back to the first time you ever got in His presence and got saved, remember that? Go back with me, right down in your memory. Go back to when you got saved. If you can't remember that, you need to get saved. I ain't talking about the date. I know some people forget the date or whatever. But you cannot be saved if you don't remember when you got saved, when you met Jesus. That's unforgettable. And you're talking about a date. I'm talking about where you was. You ought to be able to. You should know where you was when you saw Him first. I wouldn't remember the date had I not wrote it down, but nobody could ever erase from my mind where I was in the altar, not in the altar, that's when I got called to preach, where I was at the house. I could take you right now to the concrete slab. I can still see it as vivid, the basketball going in the background, the house behind me, Preacher Fowler's car pulled up right there, his door open, me not letting him get out of the car before I pulled him down and said, let's pray, I need to see Him. And I got the day I could care less about. But that experience, when I saw Him, You can't take that from me.
Amen.
And from that time, I mean this. Please, if you didn't get nothing I preached this morning, get what I'm about to say. It'll change your life. You remember that feeling when you got saved?
Amen.
I mean, you remember that?
Amen.
Being translated from darkness into light. Sin, all the weight of sin being lifted off you, and you just felt like you could just float.
Yes.
Remember that? That wasn't because of a prayer you prayed. That wasn't because of a message you heard. All of that euphoric feeling and emotion and wonder was because you got in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen.
And that never stops. It wasn't just for getting saved. I've never got in His presence, truly got in His presence, whether in the prayer closet, in the Word of God. If you get in His presence, everything subsides and you're in awe and nothing else matters. It don't matter how bad life is. If I can just get in His presence, it's like a force field that stops every negativity, every bad thing from it. It's amazing. And knowing that, how convicting that I don't do it more. That I don't seek Him more and search for Him more. That was just preaching for me. If y'all could get help on it, have at it. In the shadows, you'll find Him. In the storm, in the Scripture, in the secret place. I'm going to be done. I'm not going to preach this. I'll preach the rest of this tonight. In the secret place, prayer. Some of the best times I've ever had in my life was me and Him.
Amen.
Not a church. I love church. I thank God for the church. I agree with Jesus. I love the church. And He loved it so much, He gave His life for it. He bought it. And He's coming back for it. I love the church. But I've got more one-on-one with Him. In the prayer closet. Because I knew He wasn't there to visit nobody. Sometimes in church, I'll feel like, well, maybe I got in on something that He came to visit somebody else on, and I got the afterglow. But when you get in a prayer closet, and ain't nobody there but you, and He shows up, you know He's there to see you. You don't see Jesus? Start praying. And don't just go down a list of things to pray. Don't just go down your prayer list. Stop for a minute. Change it up. If your prayer life ain't working, then change it. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result. If it ain't working, change something. Stop asking for everything. Stop looking at God like He's Santa Claus. And start worshiping Him. First start saying, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And get your heart clean so He can speak to you. So you can see Him. And then after that, just leave the list alone and start thanking Him. Because God inhabits the praise of His people. Inhabits. You know what that means? You know what inhabit means? He comes and habitates. He comes where people praise Him. So I just don't feel worthy. You ain't. That's why we ain't praising you. We're praising Him who is. You want Him to come habitate where you're at? Hey, I'm right now done, I promise. Listen, how many of you mamas and daddies, you can relate to this? When your child comes to you and all they say is, I want this. Can you buy me that? I need clothes. I need food. I need food. I need food. I need food. I'm not on repeat. That's just what I hear all the time. I need food. That's how hungry them girls are. They stay hungry. I need. And if they never say, I love you, Daddy. Daddy, you're the best. When they were little and dumb, they'd say, Daddy, you're the strongest man in the world. Then they grew up and learned better. But they would praise me, and they would show their affection and love to me. And then they didn't even have to ask. I give it. I would give them way more than they asked for. But when they show me zero affection, zero love, and all they come to me is for what they want or need, like I'm some ATM, and it ain't funny, because that's how we do God. Don't you know it breaks the heart of God when all we come is gimme, 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 and never I come to give you, Lord, praise, honor, worship.
Amen.
You don't see Jesus in your prayer closet? Try it. Try it. Let's stand. I appreciate your patience. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It'd be a good time for somebody to come find him in an altar, pray to him, and say, Lord, I'm coming not to ask for anything. I come to give. I want to see you before I leave church today. I don't want it just to be another church service where I leave the same way I came. I want to leave changed. I want to leave having been in your presence. Would you come? As she plays, you come. Father, in Jesus' name, touch. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for being a findable God, Lord. Somewhere in the shadows, Lord, we can find you. In the storms of life, in the scripture. Oh God, help us to find you. Help us to seek you. Could be somebody here lost today. You've never seen him. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Would you come? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Somebody about might want to be honest this morning and say, I've never seen him. I don't know when I got saved. I've always thought I was, but I can't remember a time like that where I really met him. I remember praying a prayer, signing a card. It'd be a terrible tragedy to walk through life with religion only to get to the judgment and find out you were lost. Never met him. For him to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You better make sure you know him and he knows you. Would you come? Would you come? Altars are full. There's room for you. You come. Do business with God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Touch, God, I pray. Save, stir our hearts. Lord, help us to seek you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, have your way. People still doing business. People still coming. God's left the door open. Would you come? Would you come? Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right, you can look this way. Thank you.